Severe Weather Awareness Week this week here on Q92, and we've been interviewing emergency managers, meteorologists, law enforcement officials, health officials, and I thought it would be nice to get a hospital's take on Severe Weather Awareness Week, to visit someone that emergency manager at a hospital, to see what they do to prepare for severe weather or emergencies that would come up. And so we're going to go over to Appleton Area Health and visit with Jason Boonstra. Hi, Jason. How are you?
I'm fine. Good afternoon. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we've had you on before during Severe Weather Awareness Week a few years ago or something like that, didn't we, Jason?
It could have been. It would have been a few years. I've been here quite a few years in Appleton.
Yep. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, high school, family, education, and how long you been with Appleton Area Health?
Yeah, okay, well, I grew up in Warren, Minnesota, and soon after high school, I graduated in 1989, and I joined the Navy. I spent 4 years in the Navy, and then after that, I attended college at the University of Minnesota. Finished that up after 4 years, and I worked at Regents Hospital for about a year in the cities, and then I decided to move out to Appleton. While I came out to Appleton, I was in the National Guard. I stayed in the National Guard, just retiring this last March with 34 years of service, so
wow.
I'm glad to be done with that. And I've been working here at Appleton Area Health for 24 years. So I thought I was going to stay here a little bit and then go back to the cities, but I can't handle the concrete jungle anymore.
Wow, congratulations, Jason. You said, what, 34 years in the National Guard?
Yes, sir, yep.
And wow. 34
years.
Well, congratulations, and thank you for your service with that.
Thank you.
That's a long time there.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Did you enjoy your time in the service?
Mostly, I mean, I got to where I am because of the Navy and the Army kind of pushing me. I didn't think I was the brightest bulb in the box, and kind of made me study, so that kind of forced me to go to college, and yeah, the Navy was, and the Army was good for me. I spent 2 years in Iraq, which I wouldn't say was fun, mm-hmm. but I did my service and done with that.
Okay. And 24 years at Appleton Area Health, huh?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So your title, or one of your titles, what's your main job description, your main title there at Appleton Area Health, Jason?
Main title is Director of Ancillary Services. I oversee the laboratory department, the x-ray department, infectious control, and quality.
Okay. So, and also you are the emergency manager, right?
Oh, yes, correct.
Okay.
And that is.
Yeah, that's what we'd like to talk about this morning, today, during Severe Weather Awareness Week. Walk us through what an emergency manager does at a health facility.
Well, I was here, like I said, 24 years, so I was here when 9/11 hit. And soon after 9/11 hit, the Department of Homeland Security came out with these guidelines that they wanted facilities to go by, and we go by what's called Incident Command System. Whereas if something happened in the community, a tornado, a multi-vehicle car accident, a building collapsing, where we are going to be expected to see a lot of patients, we would initiate what we call incident command. Where under incident command, we have more or less our leadership team or the people that are trained to respond to this and how their facility is going to respond. For example, you will have our incident commander, and they will be in charge of more or less everything else, but they would have like the operations incident manager. The operations manager would be like focused on the operations in the hospital itself and how that's doing, and they would be communicating with the incident commander. Versus we have the liaison officer would also be contacting other facilities or the county emergency manager to get resources if needed. Any materials if needed. If our location is specifically the only one, say, hit by a tornado, we would be reaching out to other areas to help with that.
Okay.
That's the big part of the liaison officer. The other one would be the continuity of operations that we would look at to make sure to see we can still continue our operations or if we have to start deferring. So it's a team effort that comes together, and we work with each other when we have our call tree activated, we'll have our personnel manager that would instruct the people coming in, responding up to the facility to help, what departments we need help in at that time. Mm-hmm. So more or less, it's just a procedure to help the facility prepare for either a mass casualty event or anything out of the norm.
So what we learned from 9/11 was at 9/11, actually, the agencies didn't communicate with each other. Now that has changed, right? That's what we learned from 9/11. Would that be correct?
Correct. The state, and we work with the sheriff's office. We have what's called a 800 megahertz radio that we can monitor the EMS. They can let us know when they're in route if they're in route with patients or the incident commander on the scene, say fire department or the police or whatever, if there's a certain spot, or if, say, the city would open up an emergency command center, we would be able to talk via with them as well.
Okay. Can you give us an example of an emergency? Well, let's say a tornado hit the city of Appleton, and you know you're going to have 100 people coming to the Appleton Area Health. Walk us through that. How do you take care of it? How make sure you have enough supplies? That kind of stuff. How does that work? What's the first thing that happens?
God forbid that
doesn't happen, but I'm just kind of giving an example here. So,
well, Paul, I'll be honest, we are working. We work with the Southwest Emergency Coalition, which is the Southwest region of the state that we all go to meetings or have meetings on. You know, if something like that does happen, well, how are we going to respond? And the coalition does a really good job in preparing everyone. You asked for a tornado, but we are planning for a tabletop exercise April 25th, where we're actually simulating a building with the roof that collapsed with multiple injuries, and there's going to be multiple ambulances that are going to respond. Well, in that case, the hospital would initiate via the charge nurse and the incident command system, where they would call. They have a book they open up. They call the initial incident commander, and they would come in and initiate incident command. And you know, in a great time, I mean, not great time, never great time. It's always great that it would happen during work when everyone's here, but usually all that stuff doesn't happen. So they would go down the list, and we would respond as best we could to get here, and then we would initiate extra personnel for receiving and doing triage as patients came in, and also requesting help from the local authorities or from the emergency Swift County manager. And if the Swift County can't help, they have contacts to reach out as well.
So the main thing is communication, how vital that is in an emergency, I would gather, huh?
Very. We test our 800 megahertz radio once a month with the Southwest Coalition to make sure that we're still able to communicate. And when we do communication exercises where I'll have to call it out of the hospital and say this is an exercise so we know their numbers and we have that understanding. So.
Right. I was told the other day by an emergency manager, don't rely on your cell phones to get, you know, because could be knocked out, can't use them, so we've got to communicate other ways, right?
Correct, and that's when we do our communication exercises, not just cell phones, it's regular phones, it's megahertz radios, and yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, Jason, anything else you'd like to add during Severe Weather Awareness Week? It's been very interesting.
No, just keep an eye on the sky and keep listening to your radio stations, and if it's a tornado warning, take cover. I've never been through a tornado, but I was through that severe storm in 2022 when it came through and I lost over 20 trees on my property and lost power for 3 weeks, and I had my own little incident command going at my house.
Oh, yeah, the derecho, they called it, right?
Yes.
That was a storm to remember, that's for sure. I went out and bought a generator because of that, because I didn't have a generator. I don't want to be out of power for 3 days.
Yep, we did that too, and we kind of learned some lessons that not everyone, you know, for incident command, I mean, the facility was out of power too for a while, and we had people that were on ground, and they kind of took over, which was good, but you got to kind of make adjustments if everyone can't get in to help.
That's right. Yeah, you always learn things from emergencies, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. No. Yeah, my wife said, go buy a generator because I don't want to go sit out in the car and charge my cell phone. That kind of thing. So.
Well, we didn't have air conditioning for 3 weeks, so we were hurting.
So your farm place was hit hard then during the derecho. Then 3 weeks without power, huh?
Yeah, we were hit hard.
Wow. So. All right. Well, Jason, I appreciate the information you just shared with us, and thank you for your service there and everyone else in the health industry. When emergencies do happen, that we know that people are prepared for it and to handle the situation, any situation. So. Thank you.
Well, every situation is new. It's just got to have what we call control the chaos.
Control the chaos. That's right. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
That's Jason Boonstra, the emergency manager at Appleton Area Health. And stay tuned to Q92 throughout the week. We'll be continuing with more interviews here during Severe Weather Awareness Week.